Title: One Note Bass Groove Writing for DJ Friendly Sets Intermediate. Alright, let's build one of the most useful weapons in rolling drum and bass. A one-note bass line that still feels like it moves, still feels exciting, and is ridiculously DJ friendly. The whole point today is this: we're not going to write notes, we're going to write groove. Movement comes from rhythm, gaps, envelopes, filtering, saturation, and a really tight relationship with the drums. When this is done right, it hits hard on a big system, it reads on small speakers, and it mixes cleanly because it doesn't fight the incoming track harmonically. By the end, you'll have a two-layer bass system, a one-bar groove you can loop forever, and a 16-32-16 style structure that's built for DJ phrasing. Let's go! First, session setup. Put your tempo in the classic DNB pocket, 172 to 176 BPM. I'm going to aim you at 174 as the sweet spot. Time signature is 4/4. Now, think like a DJ for a second. You want clean phrases. Drop some locators or markers so your timeline is organized like this. A 16-bar intro for mix-in, a 32-bar drop, and a 16-bar breakdown or turnaround. This alone will make your music feel more playable in sets. Before you touch the bass, make sure you've got a basic drum context. You can't write bass in a vacuum in DNB. Your snare is living on 2 and 4. Your kick is usually on 1, and depending on the style, maybe an extra kick on the end of 2, or something that pushes the roll. Hats and shuffles give you the conveyor belt. The bass is going to answer all of that. If you don't have drums yet, pause and throw in a simple drum rack loop. Kick, snare, hats. Keep it basic. We're here to make the bass interlock with the beat. Now, create your bass system. Make two MIDI tracks. Name one bass SUB and the other bass MID. Select them both and group them. Name the group bass bus. On the bass bus, put spectrum at the very end. This is your truth teller. Not for mixing by eyesight, but for sanity checks. You want to see where the sub is living, and make sure your mid layer isn't sneaking low end into places it shouldn't. Let's build the sub first. On bass sub, load operator. Set oscillator to a sine wave. Keep it mono. Set voices to 1. Choose an anchor note. A lot of people choose a key from theory first, but in DNB you also choose based on sub translation. Here's a quick practical guide. F is big, like 43.7 Hz, but it can strain smaller systems. G is around 49 Hz and often translates a bit easier. I is around 55 Hz and is super safe on a lot of club rigs. None of these are rules, but they're great starting points. Use spectrum and your ears. Now set your amp envelope. We want tight but not clicky. Attack around 0.5 millisecond to 2 milliseconds. Decay around 150 to 300 milliseconds. Sustain basically off, so minus infinity or very low. Release around 40 to 90 milliseconds. The goal is a controlled thump that doesn't smear into the snare. After operator, add utility. Set width to 0%. That's non-negotiable. Sub is mono. If you make your sub wide, you're basically asking the club system to turn your low end into a guessing game. Then add EQ8. Don't automatically high-pass the sub. In most cases, you don't need to. If you know exactly why you're doing it, fine. Otherwise, leave it. Optionally, if the sub layer feels weirdly boxy, you can try a gentle dip around 200 to 300 Hz, but usually that problem is coming from the mid layer, not the sine itself. And remember, the sub should be boring in solo. If your sub sounds like a cool synth by itself, you might be overcomplicating it. Now build the mid layer. On bass mid, load Waveatable. Start with something basic like the basic Shades Waveatable. Aim for a square or sawish vibe, and set the position around 30 to 60%. Keep it tight. One voice, unison off for now. We can add a tiny bit later, but start clean so you can hear what your groove is doing. Turn on the filter in Waveatable. Try an LP24 for solid control, or MS2 if you want more bite. Now we're going to use a filter envelope to create motion without changing pitch. Set a filter envelope with attack at 0, decay somewhere around 120 to 250 milliseconds, sustain low, like 0 to 20%, and amount small to medium. We want it to talk a little, not wobble like a dubstep LFO. Now the mid chain. First, EQ8 with a high pass at 120 to 180 Hz. 24 dB per octave. The sub owns the low end. The mid layer is there to create the illusion of bass on smaller speakers and to provide character. Then add saturator. Use analog clip or soft sine depending on how aggressive you want it. Drive around 3 to 8 dB and turn soft clip on. This is where the mid layer starts to feel like it's leaning forward. Add auto filter after that. This is your validation machine. You'll automate cutoff later for energy changes without rewriting anything. Optionally, add a compressor just for control, not sidechain yet. Ratio around 2 to 1, attack 10 to 30 ms, release around 80 to 150 ms or auto. The goal is to keep spikes from jumping out after saturation, not to flatten the groove. Quick mindset check. Your ear follows movement in harmonics, not just pitch. That's why a one-note bass line can feel like it evolves for an entire track. Now the core, writing the one-note groove. Create a one-bar MIDI clip on both bass tracks. You can write it once and copy it to the other. Choose a note. If you picked F as your anchor, use F1 for the sub and F2 for the mid, or any octave split you like, as long as it's the same pitch class. Set your grid to 1/16 notes. Here's a classic rolling rhythm that avoids stomping on the snare. Place hits on 1E, 1A, 2E, 3, 3A, and 4E. If you're thinking why those, it's because you get forward motion, but you're not slamming notes directly on 2 and 4 where the snare wants to dominate. You're creating that feeling of the bass orbiting around the snare, not arguing with it. Now note lengths. Don't make them all the same. Start with most notes around 1/16 to 1/8, but vary them. Make a couple short and punchy. Then make one or two a little longer. Those longer notes help glue the phrase and give the roll something to lean on. Next, velocity. This is where the one-note line becomes a performance. Accentuate 3 and 3A with higher velocity. Make 1A and 4E quieter, like ghost notes. You're basically programming a bass drummer's right hand and left hand. And here's the key. Velocity needs to actually change the sound, not just volume. On the MID layer, go into Wave Eatable Modulation and map velocity to filter cutoff, but keep it subtle. Small amount. You can also map velocity to envelope amount, or even vary slightly to Wave Eatable Position. The idea is that louder hits don't just get louder, they get brighter, a touch more aggressive, a touch more open. If you want more control, put the MIDI velocity device before Wave Eatable. Set it to comp mode and adjust drive until accents pop, but your ghost notes still exist. Ghost notes are the glue. If you erase them, you lose the roll. On the SUB layer, be careful. The sub's job is consistency. You generally don't want velocity making your sign brighter or changing weirdly. Keep the sub stable and let the mid do the talking. Now we carve space for the kick, because DJ-friendly bass means predictable low-end behavior. You've got two options. Option is classic compressor sidechain. Put a compressor on both bass SUB and bass MID. Turn on sidechain. Set audio from to your kick track, or your drum group if that's cleaner. Start with ratio 4 to 1, attack 2 to 10 ms, release 60 to 140 ms, and set threshold so you're getting about 2 to 6 dB of gain reduction on each kick. But don't treat those numbers as law. Sidechain is groove timing. If the bass feels late, shorten the release. If it feels like it never recovers, lengthen the release or reduce threshold. You want the bass to return in the pocket of the drums. Option B is volume shaping with autopan. This is more consistent for DJ mixing, because it behaves the same every hit. Put autopan on the bass track, set phase to 0 degrees so it becomes a volume tool, choose a saw-down shape, rate it 1/4 synced, and adjust amount maybe 20 to 60%. Then offset it so the dip hits right on the kick. This gives you that clean, repeatable low-end duck. Either method works. Just don't overpump unless you're going for a really modern, bouncy aesthetic. Now glue the bass together on the bass bus. Start with EQ8. If things feel muddy, try a small wide cut around 250 to 400 Hz. If you need presence, a tiny lift around 800 Hz to 1.5 kHz can help, but that's mostly mid-layer territory. Then, yes, you can use drum bus on bass. Carefully, drive around 1 to 5. Boom usually off. Crunch low, maybe 0 to 10%. Watch your output. Drum bus can make it feel expensive fast, but it can also wreck your headroom fast. Finally, add a limiter as a safety net, not as your loudness strategy. Set ceiling around minus 0.3 dB. Ideally, it's barely touching, maybe catching 1 or 2 dB on peaks. Now let's make it DJ-friendly over time, because a 1-bar loop is cool, but a 32-bar drop has to evolve. Think in 8-bar chapters. Also, think in gaps, not just hits. Negative space is what makes a bass line mixable. If your bass is constant, DJs have no clean handles to blend in the next record. For the 16-bar intro, keep it simple. Start with the mid layer muted or heavily filtered. Set the mid auto filter cutoff around 200 to 400 Hz so it's more like a rumble of harmonics than full aggression. You can even delay the sub. Bring it in lightly after 8 bars, or keep it minimal until the drop, depending on vibe. Let drums and percussion build the energy, not harmonic movement. For the 32-bar drop, Keep the note the same and evolve with small moves. Bars 1 to 8. Main groove, as written. Bars 9 to 16. Variation A. Add one extra 1/16 pickup just before beat 4, so it pulls you into the next phrase. Or slightly increase the filter envelope amount on the mid layer, so the accents speak more. Bars 17 to 24. Variation B. Automate saturator drive up by 1 to 2 dB on the mid layer, or on a macro if you're set up for that. Maybe shorten a couple of note lengths, so it feels tighter and more urgent. Bars 25 to 32. Pre-turn. Do something that a DJ can feel as a marker without it becoming a messy fill. A really effective move is a 1-beat bass mute right before a snare hit, or aggressively high past the mid for one bar so the bottom feels like it drops away, then slam back in. Then your 16-bar turnaround. This is where you reset the ear and create another mix point. You can remove the sub for 4 to 8 bars, or leave a very light sign. Keep filtered mid and maybe add a few reverb throws on drums. The important part is clear 8 and 16 bar blocks. DJs love clarity. Now, a few coach level checks that will save you from the classic problems. First, sub mono, always. Utility width 0%, no stereo effects on the sub. Second, mid low end. If your mid is fighting your sub, you didn't really layer, you just doubled. High pass the mid at 120 to 180, and don't be shy about it. Third, snare space. If your bass is smacking hard on 2 and 4, it's going to feel like the snare shrinks. Let the snare own those beats. Fourth, if everything is the same length and same velocity, it will sound like a machine, not a groove. There it is. That's literally the assignment. Fifth, watch the saturation on the bus. Heaviness usually belongs on the mid layer. Keep the sub clean, or at most, lightly controlled. And here's a big one that intermediate producers often miss: phase alignment between sub and mid. Even if you EQ split perfectly, the two layers can cancel each other in the low end. Here is a practical method: temporarily low pass the mid layer around 200 Hz and turn it down. Then on the mid layer, use utility and flip phase invert for left and right. Compare. One setting will feel punchier around the fundamental and second harmonic area. Keep the one that hits harder. You'll feel it more than you'll see it. This audio version is shortened for playback.